This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Stan Gordon is with us, and I kind of wanted to focus on the personal aspects of these cases, whether the profile of the witness gives us any clues as to who might be more susceptible to seeing something.
No, actually, just thinking back and the multitudes of witnesses I've talked to, and again, they range from young children, you know, parents, mothers, fathers, males, females of all different backgrounds. Many people I interviewed were what I would consider professionals, police officers, municipal police, state police. I've interviewed commercial pilots, corporate pilots, private pilots who have encountered UFOs. I've talked to farmers and lawyers and doctors and nurses and CEOs and people involved in our and lawyers and people from all walks of life who have seen these things. And once again, the main thing that stands out is none of these people really want anybody to know that they saw these things. And it's just like, recently I dealt with a police officer and had a very bizarre encounter with a very bizarre creature. And he contacted me soon after he got off of patrol, but he didn't want to make a report on it. And I've been very careful not to identify, you know, where it happened and who he was because he doesn't want to be identified. He has nothing to gain by this. Why would you make up such a story? And this is what I find year after year from so many different people who have called me from all types of backgrounds and all kinds of experiences.
Well, certainly it's something we have to continue to look at in terms of all these mysteries, what we can learn. Now, I wanted to get into something else here, which we mentioned earlier about people tending to take things more seriously. Now that the media might be taking things more seriously, what do we see going on in terms of that? Is there some kind of disclosure that might be happening?
I would love to see it happen, and I hope maybe someday in my lifetime it will. But personally, from what in all the events that I've dealt with over the years, you know, I've heard about the disclosure. I've heard over many, many years that different things are going to happen different times. If my memory serves me right, I think it was around 1975. I was a close friend with Leonard Stringfield. I'm sure you know the name. He was basically the father of UFO crash retrievals. And Len had a lot of very good contacts, apparently within, military sources. And, there was pretty good information beginning to surface that there was about to be some major effort to begin to condition the public to the fact that UFOs were real. And from what I remember, they were talking about there would be some books come out, there would be some movies coming out that would have this as a subject. There would be other things that were going to be done. And it was even publicized at the time, and nothing major happened. But I believe at that time period is when we began to see some interesting books being published. There were some movies that came out that had the E.T. theme to them. So maybe subtly the public was began to be conditioned to this possibility. Again, I hope the day will come, but personally, unless there's some type of major, huge UFO incident that is viewed by many people and the media gets there very quickly to confirm it, that may be the way it's going to happen. Other than that, I think it's going to be quite a while till we really see any definitive proof as to what we're dealing with. And personally, my feeling is that the government has always been involved in UFO investigations. We know, of course, they started going back to 1947. It was a Project Sign and Project Grudge and Project Blue Book. And Blue Book continued when it officially closed down in January of 1970. And we are told at that time that was the end to our public UFO investigations. And But over the years, there was strong indication that there were other projects that were ongoing. I believe they've always been ongoing. We learned about Project Moondust and Operation Bluefly. And I believe the government is very, very interested in these reports. It's a worldwide phenomena. Personally, I think that they know there's something out there. They do not have all the answers themselves, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're not in control, whatever it is. And I've seen indication over the years that also that the government has an interest in the Bigfoot phenomena as well. And, you know, once again, what I've been learning over the years, as we talked a little bit about some of these different phenomena today, it's much deeper than anybody realizes. It's much more unusual. And I think the government's trying to figure out themselves of what it is that we're dealing with.
So after 70 years, they haven't a clue.
Oh, I think they know a lot more than they're telling us. But again, I can only surmise. I just think that they're finding, like I'm finding, that this phenomena is much more unusual, much more involved, and much deeper than any of us realize and understand at this point. This may be so far beyond our present scientific understanding. We can only theorize about it. We're seeing clues, but I'm not so sure anybody really has the answers themselves. I am more and more convinced that a lot of this phenomena has a physical and a non-physical component to it, that there's an energy connection to it, and that these things, you know, can maybe take it. It's hard as it is for me to say this, but we may be dealing with a phenomena that has a capability to change in various forms. Nick Redfern just came out with a book about this several months ago. Others have been talking about it for years, and it's very, very strange. But when you talk to so many people who tell about their firsthand encounters, and I've heard about these from all over the country and around the world for years and years, but they were so strange that I know many of the investigators wouldn't even publish it because they don't want to be laughed at. But others are aware of it, and I've noticed in more recent years that more and more people in the Bigfoot field are beginning to question what they know about it. They're beginning to realize that there may be more to this than meets the eye, that it may be much stranger. And I hear from a lot of people in Bigfoot field who are looking into this. And I was one of the speakers at the first CryptidCon conference they had in Kentucky last year. And from what I understand, I think almost every Bigfoot speaker, investigator that talked about Bigfoot was talking about some possibility of some of these being interdimensional. So it's something now that is beginning to catch the attention of many people from around the country.
Well, I sure hope so. But do you think there's ever going to be something called UFO disclosure? Or is it something that's going to happen independently?
Time will tell. I've heard this so many times over the years, and I know there's a lot of great efforts to get the information out, and I hope someday it does. But I think it's going to take a huge, major national event that is covered strongly by the media to confirm it very quickly. Or, you know, as we hear rumors that there's physical evidence out there, there's physical residues that are out there that are beyond our scientific understanding at this point. You know, if that really exists and it comes out publicly and we can see the scientific data and we can find that kind of proof and that evidence, then that might be something that will reveal a lot of this as well. I mean, I've talked to many, many people, investigators, other people over the years, you know, who seem to have knowledge of the fact that our government did recover UFO materials and allegedly some bodies going back to the 40s and 50s and 60s, and some of these appear to be pretty credible people. To talk to Len and myself and others over the years. And, again, I believe that there may be more than one origin to the unknown category of UFOs. We may be dealing with more than one phenomena here.
Well, what do you think of things like, well, perhaps collective unconscious as a possible cause of some things, which just means we kind of help create the effect? We'll have Stan's response to that in just a moment. In the meantime, I'd like to remind you about the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus offers a version of this show free of the network ads. We give you better quality audio. And what's more, we give you a second radio show called After the Paracast, where you frankly never know what's going to happen next. And quite often, we don't either. To learn more, go to plus.com. theparacast.com for more information, plus theparacast.com. With Gene, Chris, and Stan, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So things like a collective unconscious, or what Greg Bishop talks about as a co-creation effect, that we're somehow partly creating the UFO effect.
Again, you know, there may be theories and explanations that may explain certain individual cases, but what I've looked at is the multitudes of people I've interviewed, the different patterns we've seen over the years, the similarity of details in the reports. And let me tell you about the sighting that happened recently with this police officer. Like, what is it this guy saw? And then there was a follow-up witness that saw something very similar several weeks later who knew nothing about the other report. That person didn't even have a computer. And this just happened in late August of last year. This was in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, in southwest part of the state. The officer was on patrol in a wooded area that he frequently patrolled. He knew the area pretty well. As he's riding down the road that evening, he notices what appears to be a ball of very dull white light low to the ground. And he thought, that's pretty unusual because he doesn't remember any artificial lighting out there. So he gets a little close and stops his vehicle and he's watching. And all of a sudden, he said he got about 150 yards away from the round light, then moved a little closer. And he said, suddenly this light suddenly rose up or stood up from the ground. Then he observed something that he couldn't process. He couldn't understand what he saw. He said it was the weirdest thing he had ever seen. He said the ball of light was actually the head of a very strange being that looked to be about 6 feet tall or a little taller. He said it was very skeletal thin. He was of the opinion the creature, when he first saw it, was lying on its belly on the ground with its head facing toward the road. It then stood up. In that dark location, he saw the dull light from the glowing head illuminating the upper section of the body of the creature. He said as he watched, the creature turned to the right. The dull illumination from the head lit up the shoulders. And the creature turned and faced him, then turned to the left and took off at an incredible speed towards a location away from the road. As it moved off, he could see its arms swinging. He indicated it took off at a speed that you could only call abnormal. It was faster than anything he had ever seen. It was there, and then it was gone. The creature moved on two legs. He assumed it was two legs, but he never could see the lower section of the body in the dark. He also said that while it was standing about 6 feet tall, the head was about 8 to 10 inches in diameter and shaped like a ball, but he said the head could possibly have been a little more egg-shaped, and the light emitted seemed to be just a dull white. It illuminated the shoulders, the top of the chest, and a section of the arms. He could not see the hands. The chest looked to be about 18 inches across. The waist appeared to be small, but the arms were abnormally long. The long limbs looked skeletal with no muscle mass. And the color of the body, he said, appeared to be a dull grayish blue. He could not see any facial features. He said he only saw this thing for maybe about 10 seconds. He got a good look at it. As the creature moved off, he pulled his patrol car up to the area, shined his spotlight around, but he saw no evidence on the ground. A few weeks later, I get a report from another witness that lived as the crow flies several miles away. This person had no computer, knew nothing about the other report, had told a friend. The other friend encouraged that person to call me. And this is around the third week of September of last year. Was walking out in the country. It was about dusk, just getting dark, when she saw this figure approaching from across the road coming out of the woods. And this person said this thing was not glowing, but it was similar. She said about 5 foot 8 inches tall. It scared the person very badly. The head was egg-shaped, wider at the top and narrow at the bottom. The color of the creature was odd and gave the impression it was sickly or in poor health. It looked to be kind of a very light cream to ivory color. Couldn't see any facial features. She said the shoulders were about 20 inches across, could not see the arms. The legs were straight and thin, seemed to be bent outwards, seemed to be walked very unusually. It began to approach, came within about 35 feet of this person, as I recall. The person became very frightened, ran to the house, and that was it. But why would somebody make up a story like this? Why would people make up a story? What are these things, and where do they come from?
Let me bring something back to you that we talked about 2 or 3 years ago on the Paracast, and it's been brought up again in our forums, where someone, and there's an article from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that illustrates it, claimed to have identified the Kecksburg UFO as a re-entry vehicle from a spy satellite. And the guy who, I guess, took credit for it is a controversial character, John Ventry, former MUFON state director who got drummed out because he posted some stuff on Facebook that was humongously offensive. So what's your take on that? You know, for people who haven't heard.
Since the Kecksburg incident happened, December 9th of 65, there have been many, many theories about what this object was. And I keep an open mind until we have definitive proof. Theories are good, but without the evidence, it doesn't prove a thing. And again, whatever this object was, going back to that time, seen by multitudes of people in the sky from Ontario, Canada, over Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, whatever the object was, apparently fell into a wooded ravine in a little village of Kecksburg in Westmoreland County. I interviewed many, many people who saw this thing coming in from the Pittsburgh area, over where I live, over the city of Greensburg, where it moved out roughly to Route 30 eastbound, and it made a turn to the south. And it was seen by people through all those little villages, and it continued out to the mountains of Laurelville, where people said it kind of hesitated. It made a turn, began to track back, made another turn, and dropped down into the woods. The people who saw it go down said it did not come down at a high rate of speed like you had with a reentry of space debris or a meteor coming in. It crashed through the trees, knocked the trees over, damaged the trees, but the object itself was basically completely intact on the ground. Because witnesses who saw it go down, some of the locals, they soon went down into the woods. Then later volunteer firemen came in, then the military came in, and they came across this large metallic acorn-shaped object semi-buried in the ground, maybe 10 to 12 feet or more in length, about 8 to 10 feet in diameter, kind of an off-gold bronze color shaped like a big metallic acorn. There were no seam marks, no rivets, no weld marks, no wings, no fuselage. On the raised-up part of that, what you would call the acorn, on one witness called a bumper, were these markings that look more like symbols raised up off the surface. Luckily, one of those witnesses, because his background, he only was a few feet away from it, he said this was not Cyrillic, it was not Russian or Soviet at the time. He said this was much more unusual. The closest he can recall from memory was it would look similar to ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. The theories were, the first one we heard was from an Air Force officer. He told them at the time there was a Gemini capsule had been expelled in the area. So over the years, we've heard everything from meteorite to Cosmos 96. Pretty much that's been ruled out now. Another person told me he was certain it was a Soviet ICBM that went out of control. Another fellow told me he was aware of a project where a projectile was fired from a giant gun from a railroad car in Canada. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And then in more recent years, of course, a lot of people were in the theory that it was the Nazi bell. Even though I've never seen any strong evidence that the Nazi bell became a reality, my understanding was it was not a maneuverable flying object from what I've been told. And this thing, whatever it was, apparently was able to do that. And the 50th anniversary that you heard about, the theory just talked about, that this was a GE Mark II reentry vehicle.
More to come with Stan Gordon. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
You don't follow the herd. You blaze your own trail. And you're as adventurous in the kitchen as you are in life. Whether it's paddleboard yoga or Peruvian steak, you're the first to try new things. So are we. We're Green Chef, the first USDA-certified organic meal kit delivery service. We offer delicious meal plans for 7 different lifestyles. Paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, and omnivore. Want to be the first of your friends to try Green Chef? Discover our exclusive introductory deal by texting the keyword FUN66 to 543-543. We believe that cooking, just like life, should be all about experience and flavor. And by exploring dinner options with Green Chef, you'll try new recipes, techniques, and ingredients for bold, new restaurant-level flavors. It's like enjoying a new cooking class, but in your own home. To experience this culinary adventure, text now and discover our exclusive introductory deal. Text FUN66 to 543-543. That's FUN66 to 543-543.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As you say, with the 50th anniversary of the Kecksburg encounter, suddenly it's a landing vehicle. What I'm surprised, though, is that, if it was true, could have been something that could have been mentioned much earlier, even if it was a spy satellite. You know, after a certain number of years, it wouldn't even matter.
In the last, I believe in the last year, in the last 3 years, well, since the 50th anniversary, I believe been three different theories brought out now as to what Kecksburg was. They're all different. They all have a different amount of information in them. It just goes on and on and on. If you go on the internet, you can read many of these theories, many researchers and some from the science community have looked into these different theories, and pretty much most of them don't believe it's connected with the Kecksburg case. And so once again, I keep an open mind. What I did find that's interesting, which a lot of people don't know, and it's very detailed and would take a long time to get into it, but in the last 20 years, there's some very interesting information that there may have been someone or something inside of the object. If this is true, and these witnesses I interviewed over the years, I mean, these people are extremely reluctant to talk about it. It wasn't easy to get these people. One of them basically told me because he was in very, very bad health, and he's passed away since then. The other one I had heard about years ago, back I think it was 2002, and I heard about him. His name came up, I think, like 13, 14 years before. And I had contacted him that time because I heard a rumor that he had been hiding down in the woods and watching the recovery operation, and he wouldn't deny it, but he said he was afraid of getting involved. He didn't want his family involved. And then it was, in 2002 when the Sci-Fi Channel was backing a big investigation on the Kecksburg case with Leslie Kane, who was directing a group called the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and his name came up among others who were willing to share their information on the case with me. and I was able to interview him at that time. And without getting into a lot of detail, I spent a lot of time with him. He was going to back out even when I went out to talk to him that time. He was reluctant to talk about it, but we spent some time together, and he began to unfold and tell me the story of the fact that he was hiding down in the woods that day as the military was just arriving on the scene, and he indicated that he saw something down there which suggested there was something inside of the object. We've heard some other information out there, and I'm not saying that this is extraterrestrial, but also I think some of these reports from these people are very compelling. So I'd say there may be more to this than any of us really know about at this point.
Is there any reason to think, though, that at least some sightings, especially in the 40s and 50s, may have been misidentified government craft, possibly test aircraft of some sort?
Oh, I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that there were probably many, many different sightings of experimental aircraft. But, of course, our government has hundreds of miles of airspace in certain areas in the country where they test fly these vehicles. And, I mean, we continually get reports in Pennsylvania for years of these big triangular objects and cigar-shaped objects. And there are so many reports. I mean, when you look at over the last 20-some, 30-some years, and many of them are very populated areas, very low over vehicles, hovering over highways, sometimes on the ground, where we have physical traces over the years. It doesn't make sense that if it was something so secretive that a government would be continually flying over populated areas. But I have no doubt, yes, there were many misidentifications in some parts of the country of some of these test devices.
What about the theory I mentioned earlier, which we haven't pursued yet, about a possible co-creation of some UFO events where we're participating to some degree in what we see because maybe it's so alien to our consciousness that we can't understand it. And therefore, we use our culture, just as maybe in the Middle Ages, we saw other sorts of things, such as leprechauns and such, that we interpret a phenomenon in accordance with our understanding of the present day, and today it's a science fiction culture. What do you think?
Well, again, some people who encounter these creatures, they're probably trying to figure out to the best of their understanding. They're seeing something that is not supposed to exist, but they're trying to see if it's similar to something they've read about or heard about or something that's maybe fictitious, but it looks similar to what they're seeing. So maybe in some cases it plays a role in it. And just as we're talking here, it brings up something I found years ago. Many, many years ago, as I'm beginning to study the backgrounds of some people, I begin to find that some of these people had a long history from the time they were young of having very type of paranormal experiences. They would have dreams that came true, premonitions. They would have incidents of paranormal phenomena in their home. And I wondered for years, could it be that some people possibly have some type of, they're able to perceive some phenomena that other people can't, that maybe they're more sensitive to the phenomena, that maybe in some cases the phenomena is attracted to them. And I remember years ago, there was an incident where there was a group of people, some of the people in that group were seeing this large structured object hovering very low above them, and the other people couldn't see it. So could it be that only certain people have certain capabilities that they're able to perceive some of these phenomena that other people can't?
Well, I don't know if I want to be sensitive to it or not. What do you think, what's your take on UFO abductions?
You know, I was probably one of the first in the country to get pretty involved in UFO abductions with my research group back in the 60s. And there was a lot of reports in those days in Pennsylvania and the Pittsburgh area. And my teams worked on a lot of cases. The problem is, you got to remember, we had hundreds and hundreds of UFO reports come in all the time. And we did this out of our own pockets. We had full-time jobs. You know, we were very limited in what we could do. We were doing a lot more, a lot of people good, but we could only do what we could do. And I wanted to really study a lot of the backgrounds of the people involved. But I can tell you, just from memory, that some of those cases were very interesting. Again, many came from very credible people. And over the years, I mean, even today, I can think of at least one person just top of my head who I've been in touch with now for, my gosh, probably over 40 years. That person, from the time she was little, she had disappeared in a large field, in a large area. There was a major search for her. They searched for hours and hours, and they found her right on the spot where they had already searched. She had no idea what was going on, what she was missing. But throughout her life, from the time of being a child, she's had numerous paranormal phenomena occur in her life. Then her children and now her grandchildren are having these experiences as well. And this is something that's apparently not that uncommon. And I remember one case that always stuck in my mind. This was in the Pittsburgh area. I did get to interview the person, the witness in person, but some of my team was involved in it. And from just what I can recall, this person lived out in the country, and apparently what the report was that during the night he would be taken aboard a landed object, and there were a number of different biological experiments involved in it. Supposedly, I believe somebody one night supposedly followed him out in the woods and watched him go aboard the craft. But what he said to me at that time, years and years and years before you really heard much at all about the grays, the humanoid reports, he described it to me, and he said they looked like Pillsbury Doughboys. And I always thought that that was quite interesting.
Well, therefore, it's not a Stay Puft Marshmallow or something. It's not the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
Well, you know, once again, I've talked to many people who believe that they had missing time experiences, abduction experiences. Some of these people were very, very credible. There was no doubt that they were having, you know, a lot of emotional effects by some of the experiences they were having. Am I to say that they were abducted by aliens? Can't do that. But something was happening to them that was causing them a lot of things going on in their life, and they were pretty shook up over it, I can tell you.
I can tell you that we're going to ask more questions of Stan Gordon as we continue to pursue the reports of his investigations into the paranormal extending over many, many years. We have Stan and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So as we continue with Stan Gordon, getting up to date on all these paranormal events. Now, if somebody has an abduction-type experience and they report it to you, do you send them somewhere to have it checked out?
Well, I can tell you this. In more recent years, in fact, I would say probably in the last 20-some years, very rarely do I hear these reports of abductions anymore. And I've talked to a lot of other people that tell me the same thing. Back in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, we used to hear quite a lot of reports. But I rarely ever hear these type of reports at this time. Back when I had my groups in those days, we did have a lot of specialists. We had medical people, you know, we had psychologists, we had all kind of scientists who investigated these reports. So we did as best we could with what time we had, but we wanted to spend a lot more time with some of those kids. We just didn't have the capability to do it because, once again, everybody was working full-time. Many of us had families. This was all out of our own pocket, and you were limited to what you could do. But there was a lot of reports back then. In more recent years, hardly ever hear of these reports. And it's unfortunate because today, a lot of people who really had some good research backgrounds, science backgrounds, are no longer with us. And it's very few people now that are really trained to deal with these type of reports around this area.
Overall, are there any UFO abduction investigators today that you respect in terms of being able to do this kind of research?
There's a few. I mean, I don't know anybody right now in this area that specializes in abduction cases whatsoever. I knew a lot of the well-known. I knew Bud Hopkins, and I knew Dave from up down in Philadelphia. I believe he's still involved in some of these things. But most of the people I know involved, unfortunately, either are now completely retired out of the field or unfortunately have passed away. So there's nobody that I know right now that's really deeply involved in the abduction phenomena. A lot of the people I deal with now are very deeply involved in the UFO phenomena and dealing with cryptid reports.
Of course, we have Kathleen Marden. I think she's living in Florida now. She was Betty Hill's niece. So she's somebody who is trained as a hypnotherapist. So she's one example of possibility, but not obviously in your area. So if someone wanted to visit that person, visit her or anyone else, it wouldn't be so easy. But you say you don't get that many abduction cases anymore.
Hardly at all. I mean, very rarely people can bring it up anymore. It was very common back years ago, but I can tell you, I rarely ever even hear about these cases anymore.
Now, that is interesting in and of itself. And does that mean that maybe there are other possible answers? I was thinking certainly in the 60s, maybe some kind of human experimentation might be involved in some cases, and that would be government, you know, the MK Ultra kind of thing. And maybe that explains some of it. But, of course, a lot of other people have had unusual encounters. In fact, there was somebody that I had talked to a number of years ago when we had our previous co-host on the PowerCast, and they told me some absolutely startling, incredible things. I think his name was Doug, and I won't give you his full name, his real name, because obviously we don't really want to break his privacy. But he had some really, really unusual encounters. And that's interesting, that we wouldn't hear as many in terms of abductions. The question, of course, is, are abductions even related to the UFO phenomenon, or are they other events that we interpret in connection with UFOs because, you know, it's just out of our experience?
Well, what was happening back in the 60s, basically before you heard about a lot of the small little humanoids, the grays being involved, what we were hearing was that there were incidents where local people were being taken aboard objects on the ground, where there was large objects on the ground, and they were having technical malfunctions, propulsion problems, and these very human-like, and most of the time, from what I remember these cases, they weren't small humanoids. They were more human-like figures, 5 to 6 feet tall. Some people claim they would telepathically communicate with these creatures, and they would take them aboard the craft and walk around the craft, and that was it. That was something that was pretty common. I've heard a number of reports back in the 60s in Pennsylvania and other parts of the country. And then it began to evolve into a lot of the reports of the smaller humanoids and the gray reports. That's just how it all began. And also during the 60s here in Pennsylvania, there were many, many reports of very large structured dome-shaped objects, many with portholes. Many of these reports were, I mean, very low level, where they rent one case out of Pittsburgh, they're hovering near a bridge, and people are pulling their cars over to watch this thing hovering and spinning. One case I had, probably one of the most interesting cases, early case I worked on, was February of 68. This was out here in southwestern PA, out in this area. And this involved two brothers. They're both deceased now, unfortunately. I got to know them both pretty well over the years. The younger brother at that time was a great believer in UFOs. His older brother was a complete disbeliever. They would get into such arguments, they would have fist fights over UFOs. And then the older brother didn't believe, went into the Navy, got a very high security clearance, worked on our most advanced aircraft, on one of our most advanced aircraft carriers. He got out of the service and had just gotten married, and him and his wife rented a little farmhouse out in the country. And one February afternoon, they have to look out the window, it's supposed to snow, and about 50 feet off the ground, about 50 feet away, is this huge battleship gray, solid metallic dome-shaped object with portholes in it, and like a some kind of a platform, like a walking platform on it, hovering there. And he calls his wife, and she stands there, and they're looking at this thing, and they step outside, and these two little humanoid creatures come on the little pathway there on the vehicle. And at one point, one of them looks directly at him and his wife. He gets on the phone and calls his brother, who believed in this stuff, and he and his wife get out there. It was about 20 minutes away, and it's still there, but it's starting to snow pretty hard now. It's about 100 feet up, hovering above them, and they watch this thing suddenly shoot off into the sky. In a matter of seconds, it's like a bright star going across the heavens. They called the local airport, and they were told, you're one of many people calling in reporting seeing the same thing. Once again, that brother didn't believe, became a believer. And as I said, for many people, you have to see it yourself to really realize these phenomena are ongoing. So there were a lot of reports back in the 60s of these very large structured craft all over Pennsylvania. The Capitol, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, had a massive UFO wave for weeks that was making the local and national news. Many, many sightings of landings and weird, weird UFO reports that were going on down there. It was going on all over the state for many years in the 60s. So there was a lot of interesting things going on back in those days.
So what have you got coming up for 2018?
You have to go to my website, stangordon.info. I'm very busy. I'm always getting new reports in. Even in the last week and recent weeks, even with the terrible weather around here, I'm getting reports of mystery booms that are going on. We're getting Thunderbird reports, a Bigfoot sighting, UFO reports. A few of them I have on my website now, just a mention of them at stangordon.info if people want to look. And I have many, many speaking events scheduled actually to the end of the year. I have more I know being booked. So if you're around Pennsylvania, West Virginia, you never know where I might show up. Keep checking my website under upcoming events. And if people are interested in getting my books, the Silent Invasion book, Astonishing Encounters, they'll read some amazing stories in there. They're available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or my website.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. You can also check out Chris O'Brien's content at OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. We have two Facebook fan clubs. We also have an official Paracast channel on YouTube. And by the way, our 10th anniversary episode of the Paracast and After the Paracast are available as a sampling of the Paracast Plus. So you hear the version of the show free of network ads. You hear After the Paracast, which is otherwise only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Prices start, by the way, at just $1.49 a week. That's cheaper than the coffee at many of those convenience stores. And it goes up to like $4.99 for the month. And we have annual subscriptions and five-year and lifetime subscriptions. For the longer term, we give you free stuff. Plus.theparacast.com. Stan Gordon, always fun to talk to you and learn about what's going on in that amazing state of Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hawaii was a wake-up call. Don't be caught without a disaster shelter. Atlas makes an all-disaster shelter that will protect your family from fallout, tornadoes, and hurricanes for only $99.99. That also includes the NBC air filtration system. Solid steel construction with an airtight bulletproof door. That's right, for $99.99 and up. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER or go to iwantthatshelter.com. Atlas Survival Shelters, the world leader in fallout shelters.